Good morning to everyone. Go to the book of Ephesians this morning. As I stated earlier in the day, this morning, the first session, that this that we're going to look at this morning, it came from an email that was sent to me with some questions about some verses. What I want you to understand about the chapter and some of the verses we're going to look at, I'm not going over them to bore you to wits, because we've looked at them a lot. What I want is the verses toward the end, where maybe we haven't dealt with as much, to try to show you something here this morning. We're titling this, The Chief Cornerstone. And this gentleman had a really good question, and it is a place of debate where some people who don't rightly divide the word of truth, they'll go here and they'll try to prove their point to drag people away and to keep people from seeing the further truth of what Paul was in charge of, what God committed unto him. So with that being said, also, if you will remind me that when this is over today, we need to attend to one little piece of business to put something out to get your thoughts on it, and it will be concerning the next year's Bible conference. So I want to lay that out today. We'll talk about it, and of course we'll do it again. It's not like we're up against the wall because we've got 5 or 6 months, but I want to go ahead and get things pressing forward to have some things in order, if you will, so we don't have to be in a rush when it comes time. If it comes time, we might not be here, right? We might be at the big Bible conference in the air, okay, for those who believe in a rapture, right? All right. So with that being said, let us pray. We're going to go to Ephesians 2, and we're going to look at this topic, the chief cornerstone. So let us pray. Father, we are so grateful for this day, another day of grace, another day of your long suffering. So thankful for the Word of God. So thankful for the fellowship over the King James Bible. We thank you for all that you have done in Christ, by Christ, and through Christ, for our soul, salvation, through His shed blood, through Him dying for our sins, according to the Scripture, buried and raised again the third day according to the Scripture. We put our faith and our trust in Christ, His work and His work alone, no other. His righteousness and what you have shown and revealed in Him and by Him. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. And everyone did say, Amen. So in Ephesians chapter 2, like I said, we're going to start off and we're going to read 11 out through 22. And we're going to do that for some context. We're going to do that, like I said, not to bore you to death, because I know you've heard these verses over and over again, but we're just going to show some stuff here, and we want to get down and really hit verses 20, 21, and 22. This was the gentleman's question. I'll give you his question when we get to that point, and I sent him some notes to look at and study, but I also told him it was worthy enough, I thought, to teach on today, so that's what we're going to attempt to do, all right? So in 2:11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who have made both one and have broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them which were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God, and are built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are building together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. All right, so there's a lot in these verses. Back in verse 11, we're just going to touch on these things because there's a contrast in the verses. So I want you to see the verses to what the Lord has done for us through His body. But we want to work our way up, as I said, to 20, 21, and 22, because that's where the question came from. But look here in verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So one of the mistakes that's made in those verses is, and you read commentaries like this, okay? They take those verses to mean before you were saved. That's who you were before you were saved. No, he gives you the time frame. You might have got saved last week, but that wasn't time past, right? You might have got saved 15 years ago, but that wasn't time past. Time past is when there was a difference between the circumcision and the uncircumcision, okay? So this is not about your pre-salvation condition. This is about man's condition, as in there was a person and people of circumcision, and there were people of uncircumcision, and there was a distinction made between the two. At that time, the Gentiles were afar off, and especially these Ephesus Gentiles. They were afar off. And when you go through the Bible outside of Israel and the promises made unto Israel, there again, you're not going to find a promise until you come to the Apostle Paul, made unto the Gentiles without the nation of Israel, concerning promises, inheritances, and all that. So the contrast begins in verse 13. But now, where must you be here? In Christ Jesus. Ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh how? By the blood. So Paul is saying that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, and then from heaven's glory, he revealed what? The gospel of Christ to the Apostle Paul after his salvation, after his Damascus Road experience. Sometime in there, he gave Paul the message of grace, right? Now, in the book of Acts, chapter 13, it talks about all men being justified by faith through Jesus Christ, which the law of Moses couldn't do, right? Along about Acts 13, 38. All right, to that group of people in which Paul was speaking to, they could hear that message, believe that message, and be justified. Yet, the Ephesians were still far off. Why? Because we have to go by the Word of God. We go by the Word of God, and the Word of God says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they be sent? Paul had not yet been sent out to the Ephesians in the book of Acts chapter 13. So it shows the progressive nature of justification, that not everybody's in one spot at one time. Paul is going out to these different places throughout his journey throughout the book of Acts. Throughout that time span, he's reaching different people. Remember, we went through the books and showed where we believe the books were in which he wrote those epistles, those 13 epistles. Right? So yes, justified in Christ, which the law of Moses couldn't do. But you have to hear the word to be justified, right? You have to believe to be justified. You have to take God for his word and believe that. So here we see that in 12, that the Gentiles, such as us, they were without hope, right? The contrast begins in verse 13 when he says here, by the blood. Notice he says by the blood. So that also means what? By the cross. Okay? People go back at the cross. Well, Paul is not saved at the cross. Paul's not the apostle of the Gentiles at the cross. Paul gets the message. It's by the cross. Now Paul is giving us the revelation of what happened at the cross. Understand? This will be really important when we get down to this gentleman's question. All right? So Paul here is preaching Jesus Christ, and I can believe the Word of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He's not preaching Jesus Christ according to the flesh. Right? Which was being preached back here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's preaching Jesus Christ that he has now ascended. And he gives Paul new revelation that had not been given to the people prior to him. Right? Understand? So now Paul is going to reveal something that because of the revelation he receives about this new man that Christ has revealed to Paul, that now both Jew and Gentile can be in the same body. So watch the contrast of what you were in verses 11 and 12, okay? Watch in verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and he preached peace to you which were far off. That would have been the far off of Gentiles, right? He preached that, committed that preaching unto whom? The Apostle Paul, right? Christ himself didn't come down and go back out to the Ephesians. Christ gave Paul the message to preach to people like you and I. He's the minister of the Gentiles, right? And he gave Paul this message of reconciliation. He gave it to us, and we should do what? We should give it to others. Commit thou unto other men, to faithful men, that they might teach others also, right? Look here. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Do you see the Trinity in that verse? By Jesus Christ, we have access by one Spirit unto whom? The Father. You've got the Son, you've got the Father, you've got the Spirit, all in that one verse. See that? All right, now watch this. Now therefore what? By the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of mystery, which has been kept secret since the world began, because of the gospel of Christ and God revealing his righteousness in the gospel of Christ, in the person of Jesus Christ, watch what he says. And because of this new man in this dispensation of grace, watch what he says. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners. The word foreigner there is the same as the word alien that he used back over in verse 12. We're no longer aliens. We're no longer foreigners. Watch. But fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. Let me say something there. There's a challenging verse for a lot of people. Oh, so now we became Israel. See? Now we're put into Israel's problem. No. Not what he's saying at all. What he is saying now is he's torn down the middle wall partition. There's no more a risen nation that anybody has to bless in order to get the blessings of God. But now, by one Spirit, we all have access unto the Father through whom? Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, buried and raised again the third day, that he can justify us freely of all things which the law of Moses never could do, that now, because of that message, we're all into this one body. So what God has been doing, Sister Call now the Apostle Paul, is building the body, the church, the body of Christ, not a nation. Okay? So that's not a trouble verse at all if you understand where you're at, if you understand your identity. When God baptized you, he baptized you where? Into one what? Body. Not one tree, right? Not a nation, but a body. All right? When he baptized you into that body, you became part of something that God had held back in himself since the world was, but now has revealed it through the Apostle Paul, that now we, Gentiles, have an inheritance. And ours is what? Heavenly. Right? Understand? Now watch. Here's the trouble spot that this fella had. And are built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. There's the verse of debate. Okay, there you go. There's Peter, there's the 11, there's the 12, and this is where this man was struggling a little bit about these apostles. Let me say this. The foundation is not the apostles. The foundation is Jesus Christ, right? The foundation in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is Jesus Christ. The foundation in Paul's message is Jesus Christ. This is according to prophecy. This is according to mystery. But it's all Jesus Christ, right? He revealed from heaven's glory to Paul about the revelation of mystery. Go back, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look down at verse 10. It We can actually look at verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Watch. According to what? The grace of God. See that? Which is given unto me. Whom? Paul. Who was it given unto? Paul. Right? As a wise master builder. Who was given the blueprint? Paul. God from Christ from heaven's glory gave Paul the blueprint for the dispensation of the grace of God. The wise master builder, right? Watch. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is what? Jesus Christ. All right? So Paul says, I've laid the foundation. If a person would stop and take the time to just study the Bible and think about what Paul was given to write by inspiration right there, it would tell you that something has changed. If Christ is the foundation, what did he say to Peter? This is the rock, right? Here's the rock. Peter wasn't the rock. Jesus Christ is the rock. So, the Catholics got that wrong, didn't they? Peter's not the first pope, right? And it's not Peter that is going to build the church upon. The foundation, the rock, the chief cornerstone is Jesus Christ. That's what the kingdom church is going to be built upon. Paul, according to ministry, says, I've laid the foundation. It is Jesus Christ. Now, there's two ways to build on Jesus Christ. In prophecy, they build by what? By prophecy. Over here, we're going to build according to what? We're going to preach him according to the revelation of the mystery, Paul's gospel, right? And we're going to also acknowledge what? The books of the prophets, right? See how? But see, Paul says, let a man take heed how he builds up on this foundation, which is Jesus Christ. So Paul received new revelation about Jesus Christ, right? About Christ at the right hand of the Father. He revealed this message and so forth. So the chief cornerstone is Jesus Christ. When you say chief cornerstone, cornerstone meaning the first stone laid. Okay? I can remember watching a particular building get built in my life here a few years ago, 12 years ago, new shop that we were going to inhabit and all that kind of stuff. And I can remember how they started that building. And I can remember the first thing that they did, right? They laid a foundation, right? They laid a foundation. The foundation is all of the importance. The foundation is not the apostles. The foundation is Jesus Christ. Was Peter preaching Jesus Christ? Paul preaching Jesus Christ. Is Peter preaching Christ the same way Paul was preaching Christ? No, Peter says, I'm preaching Christ according to the prophets, which was always known, right? Paul says, I'm preaching Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. So the apostles are not the foundation. Then you get to the debate. Here's what the man was struggling with. Who are the apostles? Well, they say it's the 12, and it's those who know. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Go to Ephesians. See, here's we do this. We know this. We'll see a word in the Bible, and when we see that word in the Bible, it's always the same. It's always pertaining to the same thing over and over again. And so back there he says you're built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Well, that has to mean that we're built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Well, wait a minute. Let's look and see what apostles and prophets we're talking about. Look in 4 and 8. Wherefore, Ephesians 4 and 8, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that also he descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. When did he do that?
After he ascended.
Amen. When did he choose the 12? Before he ascended. So what apostles and prophets are we talking about that we're built up on? I believe we're built up on the ones of the church, the body of Christ, that Christ gave to do what? Look at the next verse. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See? There were prophets and apostles that Jesus Christ appointed to the church, the body of Christ, to get this message for the building up of the church, the body of Christ. So do those apostles and prophets have to be before Paul? No, I don't think so. After he ascended up, that's when he appointed. He appointed the 12 in his earthly ministry. He appoints apostles and prophets and teachers and pastors and evangelists after he ascends back up to heaven. When did Paul get it? After he ascended back to heaven, right? He reappeared to Paul. I'm prophesying. Look at Ephesians 3. Look at 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words. 3:3. Whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the what? The mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Well, do you think Isaiah got that message? Was he talking about Isaiah in that verse? No. He's talking about holy prophets and apostles and such. He's talking about those there now with Paul. Those that in the ministry of the apostle Paul, it's possible Timothy could have been considered an apostle. It's possible Titus could have been considered an apostle. All those things. But see, people want to relate those type of words to just one thing. All they can see, man, is my religion and how I'm going to make it all fit together. Well, see, the foundation is Jesus Christ. And now, through the writings of Paul, through this time and this transition of Acts and coming on up to the prison epistles and all that, Paul says that there were apostles and prophets receiving it by the Spirit. Can you see that? And then in 4, he tells us why. That the perfecting of the body of Christ, that we be built up in the word of truth, right? So there's something there about those apostles. Keep this in mind. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Amen? It's not about Peter being the foundation. Paul's not the foundation, right? Paul said, I laid the foundation. And no other foundation can any man lay than that is Jesus Christ. Okay? You say, well, he's preaching a different Jesus. No, he's not preaching a different Jesus. He's preaching the same Jesus, but he's preaching him in a different way from further revelation. Progressed revelation came unto the Apostle Paul. People don't acknowledge that and you become religious. Why? Because you don't see Paul's ministry. You don't understand what Christ gave him for this dispensation. You don't understand what he gave him by revelation and how he's building. He laid the foundation, how he's building throughout his epistles on this foundation and how you should build. Right? People are building according to what Peter said. They're building according to what Christ said in his earthly ministry. Paul, what did Paul say about that? Henceforth we know him that way no more. Right? That doesn't mean we cancel out any part of the Bible. Doesn't mean that we ignore the history record of Jesus Christ coming to the Jew in the flesh. But what Paul says for the church, the body of Christ, we're going to preach him this way according to the revelation of the mystery. Do I need to show that verse? I don't need to. Romans 16:25. We've seen that. We've got enough to wallpaper our house with it, right? So understand that he appointed, after he ascended back, he gave gifts unto men. I think that gets read incorrectly a lot. I used to read it incorrectly, I think. Watch what he says. He ascended, verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, that's mishandled like this. He has made me an apostle. Right? That's the way they handle it. He's made me an apostle. He's made me a prophet. He's made me an evangelist. He's made me a teacher. That's the way. Okay, so now we can take those titles and use them today. These were gifts given unto men, meaning these men were gifted. They were getting the Word of God by the Spirit, right? They were receiving it by the Spirit. Are there still teachers? Yes. Are there still pastors? Yes. We get that, but not with the gifts that these folks had. You understand me? These men were special in that they were getting revelation from God by the Spirit. How do we get our revelation today? By reading, by studying, right? They didn't have the 66 books to study. You understand? You see how you can corrupt the Bible just with little thoughts sometimes, right? Not until you turn on the TV and see Apostle Dave today. That's the way it works, right? And so, well, if I'm an apostle, what do I have? I got all the signs that go with it. There's no apostles today. The body of Christ is going to be perfected today by studying the Word of God, rightly dividing the Word of truth, getting sound teaching through the Word of truth, right? And we're going to do that by having all the Bible, the full canon, right? If you're going to rightly divide something, you must have it all. You're going to divide a pie, you got to have a whole pie, right? We probably wouldn't rightly divide it. We'd take the bigger side of it, wouldn't we? All right? So the foundation, I want to make that clear. And I want to finish up on this morning. Go down back to Ephesians in chapter 2. I didn't show a lot of these verses. I did not show the cornerstone. Let me give you some verses that you can look at for cornerstone. Isaiah 28:16, Psalm 118:22, Matthew 21:42, Mark 12:10, Luke 20:17, 1 Peter. Let's look at that one. 1 Peter. According to prophecy, according to the mystery, Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. All right? He is the foundation. It doesn't matter where you're at. Upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's talking about the kingdom church, and he's building that church on his name, that he is the Messiah, not Peter's name. If that's the case, the church would have fallen three times before it ever got to the end of the Gospels, right? Remember? All right. So look here in 1 Peter, look at 2. Look at verse 5. Actually, look back up at verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built upon a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So who do you think Peter is speaking to here? He's talking to that nation. Look down, look at verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief, what? Cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be condemned or confounded. All right. Notice there he said, the chief cornerstone elect. Who's the elect? Jesus Christ. You want to be elect where you got to be? In Jesus Christ. Don't matter what dispensation you're in. Right? The remnant will have to be in Christ by faith in order to be elect. We have to be in Christ today to be elect. Christ is the elect. Precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. That's Psalm 118:22. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Now here we know that Peter's not talking to the church, the body of Christ. He said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. There's no priesthood in the church, the body of Christ. A holy nation. There's no holy nation in the church, the body of Christ. A peculiar people. Well, some of us are really that. You should show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into the marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not attained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And they say, well, there you go. He's preaching the same thing Paul preached in Ephesians. No, that's Hosea 1:1. That's what he's talking about, right? When God divorced them back there, they were not a people forward after that. Then there was a remnant that believed in Christ's earthly ministry. Now they're a people by the mercy of God, right? And what the stumbling that they had at Christ in the Gospels, they fail because they rejected that stone. They fell because they rejected the chief cornerstone, but there was a remnant according to the election that they got it and they received it. Okay? You understand? All right? So we see that Jesus is the foundation. All right? Go down to the last part of Ephesians 2, and this will be the end of it here. Two twenty-one, in whom also the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Go back and look at 1 Corinthians 3. Look down at verse 16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Look at 6, 1 Corinthians 6. Look at 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Look at 6 and 15. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know you not that which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. All right? So he finishes chapter 2 there with the habitation, that place in which God dwells. It's not in this building. It's not some force that we're going to get in here and clap our hands long enough and the Holy Spirit's going to show up. The Holy Spirit came with us this morning. When we came, He's in us. He came with us. We are the temple of God. He's not dwelling in houses made of stone. He's dwelling in these temples that we have here. So going back, looking at the chief cornerstone, Paul said, I've laid the foundation. The foundation is Christ. Paul's preaching Him according to His ascended position, according to the revelation of mystery which he received. He's now laying that information out in Ephesians to the people at Ephesus, how they were far off, but now they're made nigh by the blood. They're no longer strangers and foreigners, but now they are of one body. Okay, not one nation, but one body. And because of what Christ accomplished on the cross for all men, we're all into that one body. That's what God is doing today. That's what God has been doing. What we've been doing as men and Christendom, we've been missing what God's been doing. And we've been trying to do what God was doing in time past instead of doing what God is doing but now, right? And because of that, people live in mass confusion about who they are in Christ. They're going to follow the 12 apostles. They're going to follow signs and wonders. They're going to follow healings and all that stuff instead of getting behind Paul and seeing the spiritual one new man in which we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, right? And so, therefore, the confusion continues. But we don't have to be there. We don't have to be in that confusion, all right? With that being said, we'll pray, and then I will tend to that one little piece of business, and we'll go from there. All right? Let us pray. Father, we are so grateful for the Word of God. We're so grateful for all that You've done for us. We're thankful, Lord, for the right message, Lord, and we're thankful for the Bible, which can be understood. We're thankful, Lord, that You've given us the light on the Scripture by learning how to rightly divide the word of truth and understand who we are and where we are in the book. We give You the praise, honor, and glory. And we praise You for our gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We give You all the praise, thanks, honor, and glory. And everyone said, amen. All right.